Psalms 90, verse 13, through Psalms 92, verse 5. Return, O Yahweh, how long? O be sorry for your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your loving commitment, and let us sing for joy all our days. Give us joy according to the days you have afflicted us, the years we have seen evil.
Shalom, and welcome to His Word Heals. This program is focused weekly on living and praying in agreement with Yahweh's Word. If this is your first time tuning in and you would like to hear more, please visit our website at www.hiswordheals.com. Today's program will be part number 9 in a series on biblical healing based off of our book, If God Can Heal His People, Why Is the Church So Sick? We looked at two Israelite kings earlier who died of their diseases or illnesses because they did not seek Yahweh for healing. Now let's consider the story of King Hezekiah, who was a righteous king, in 2 Kings 20:3-7. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and the prophet Isaiah the son of Amos came to him and said unto him, Thus saith Yahweh, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto Yahweh, saying, I beseech thee, O Yahweh, remember now how I have walked before thee, in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. And it came to pass, afore Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, that the word of Yahweh came to him, saying, Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, Thus saith Yahweh, the Elohim of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears, behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go unto the house of Yahweh, and I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for mine own sake, and for my servant David's sake. And Isaiah said, Take a lump of figs, and they took and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. First of all, Hezekiah, a righteous king, became sick, and the prophet of Yahweh professed death over him. Second, instead of seeking the counsel of other gods or physicians, King Hezekiah immediately returned to Yahweh in prayer and reminded him that he had been an obedient servant. By reminding Yahweh of his own obedience, King Hezekiah was in essence calling upon the promises of healing made by Yahweh to those who are in covenant with him and obedient to his instructions or Torah. Third, Yahweh then sent his prophet back to Hezekiah with a diagnosis of healing and a longer life, as well as a message of victory over his enemies and deliverance for his city. And fourth, the prophet was given a natural remedy to speed healing, something that had to be done in faith. Lastly, King Hezekiah recovered completely and lived. Nehemiah, the prophet of Elohim, who returned after the Babylonian exile to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple, prayed the following prayer of repentance, during which he also reminded Yahweh of his promises in Nehemiah 1:7-11. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept thy commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou hast commanded thy servant Moses, saying, If you transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if you turn unto me, and keep my commandments, and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of the heaven, yet I will gather thee from there, and will bring them into the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now these are thy servants, and thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand, O Yahweh, I beseech thee now, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant, and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name. And prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. Perhaps we also should pray prayers of true repentance and faith with the inclusion of his actual word. We should include his promises in our prayers, asking for remembrance of his promises of redemption and healing to those who love him and keep his commands. His word is powerful, and we need to read and remember it always. It is our sword and our shield, our only defense against our enemies, including sickness and disease. Ephesians 6:17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of Elohim, Hebrews 4:12, for the word of Elohim is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even unto the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Psalms 119:114, Thou art my hiding place and my shield, I hope in thy word. Proverbs 30:5, Every word of Elohim is pure, he is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. King David requested of Yahweh in Psalms 25:6, Remember, O Yahweh, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Yahweh has always been merciful, loving, and kind, but he is also our righteous judge who deserves respect and obedience. In his great mercy, he wants to heal his people. He would rather heal than judge, but the choice is ours to make. He gave us free will to choose who we will serve. At the dedication of the first temple in Jerusalem, King Solomon, King David's son, prayed the following prophetic prayer, asking Yahweh to remember the mercies of King David when Yahweh's people will repent from afar after they have been scattered for disobedience. Is this prayer perhaps speaking to us today? 2 Chronicles 6:36-42. If they sin against thee, for there is no man which sins not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them over before their enemies, and they carry them away captives unto a land far off or near, yet if they bethink themselves in the land where they have been carried captive, and turn and pray unto thee in the land of their captivity, saying, We have sinned, we have done amiss, and have dealt wickedly. If they turn to thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their captivity, where they have been carried captive, and pray toward their land which thou gavest unto their fathers, and toward the city which thou hast chosen, and toward the house which I have built for thy name, then hear thou from the heaven and from thy dwelling place their prayer and their supplications, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people which have sinned against thee. Now, my Elohim, let, I beseech thee, thine eyes be open, and let thine ears be attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. Now therefore arise, O Yahweh Elohim, unto thy resting place, thou and the ark of thy strength. Let thy priests, O Yahweh Elohim, be clothed with salvation, and let thy saints rejoice in goodness. O Yahweh Elohim, turn not away thy face of thine anointed. Remember the mercies of David thy servant. It is well established in Scripture that great men of Elohim often reminded Yahweh of his promises to his people. They had faith that Yahweh would always keep his promises, and they were never disappointed. That is the faith that we need. We need to speak out and pray the promises of Yahweh in faith, to remind him of his promises to our spiritual fathers, and to claim those promises in faith as our own promises, because we are also his children, reborn into his family through the willing sacrifice of Yeshua. We belong to him, to Yeshua. We do not belong to the enemy. We have been redeemed by the precious blood of Yeshua. It is time to live like Yahweh's children, with full assurance that his promises are true and are still relevant to us today. Once we are redeemed and belong to our King Yeshua and his Father, the enemy has no control, power, or hold over us, unless we let him through disobedience, unbelief, and/or fear. However, we are told that our Father does allow us to be tested from time to time to see if we will indeed obey, as well as to cleanse and sanctify us. His testing is always temporary, just as it was in Job's case. With that testing, he also promises to provide an escape and not test us beyond what he knows we are able to bear. 1 Corinthians 10:13. The enemy and our society will lie to us and tell us we cannot be healed without the help of modern medicine, drugs, vaccines, insurance, and doctors. If we watch television, which we also need to seriously pray about and remove from our homes, all except that which is acceptable to a set-apart and righteous Elohim, we are bombarded daily with drug ads telling us we are sick and that we will have a better life if we ask our doctors about using this drug or that drug. We are bullied and scared into vaccinating our children, with who knows what, some of which are actually manufactured utilizing aborted fetal cells, and all of which contain dangerous toxins at the very least. Fear drives the entire modern medical system. We, as children of the Most High Elohim, are commanded to fear not. When we fear not, the enemy has no power or control over us, and he knows it. This is why they market in fear and false promises of a better life. I'd like to make a quick disclaimer, however. As stated previously in this series of biblical healing teachings, modern medicine can have a limited place in our lives, especially when prayerfully considered before Yahweh. While we are in a time of repentance and learning or infancy in our faith, modern medicine can certainly help to make us more comfortable, heal injuries, ease symptoms, and even help us recover a bit more quickly from some illnesses. If you are currently on prescription medications and under a doctor's care, I am certainly not recommending that you quit the drugs and/or your doctor's care cold turkey. Instead, perhaps you should also visit a naturopath who is a redeemed believer, along with lots of prayer for guidance and witnesses from our Heavenly Father as to His will for you and your healing. I am certainly not attempting to give any medical advice. The purpose of this series of teaching is only to present the words of our Creator as they pertain to healing and health for your serious consideration. Your walk with our Savior will vary. We are called into a personal relationship with Yeshua and are told to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling in Philippians 2:12. That said, here in the United States, we are now even being forced to purchase so-called health insurance by a government bureaucracy that passes laws denying us the right to know what GMOs are actually in the foods we eat. This is the same government bureaucracy that licenses as being safe for food not only GMOs, but also other known toxins such as aspartame, nitrates, high fructose corn syrup, and even mandates fluoride be put in our drinking water and our children be vaccinated with neurotoxins. This same bureaucracy is now promising to ensure our health if we can't afford to buy health insurance ourselves. Thankfully, the personal mandate is hopefully a thing of the past, but time will tell. These are all great policies if you are one of the big pharmaceutical, insurance, or corporate agri companies. Our so-called representatives have even instituted laws and trust funds which indemnify too big to fail pharma companies from all liability when, not if, their vaccines damage or kill children. Please research the National Vaccine Injury Fund, which is a governmentally established fund that indemnifies the big pharma companies against vaccine injury liability by compensating vaccine-injured families with taxpayer funds in lieu of lawsuits against vaccine manufacturers. The truth is not hard to find online. You should also read the warnings contained on the vaccine inserts themselves. The logo on the U.S. dollar claims, "In God we trust." My question is, what God would that be? We as a nation certainly do not trust in the Elohim of the Bible. We have made our government our God. We trust them to protect us, heal us, and provide for all of our needs. If we lose our job, we expect unemployment insurance to kick in. If we are hurt, we expect disability insurance to kick in. If we squander our money, don't want to work, or otherwise unable to make enough to feed ourselves or our children, we expect to receive food stamps to purchase our GMO foods. If we get sick from the legalized environmental toxins our government licenses, the GMO foods we eat, and the vaccines they give us to prevent disease, we expect our health insurance to kick in to pay for pharmaceutical drugs to make us feel better while masking the real problem and causing other worse side effects. In all of this, the last thing we as a society think of or want to do is fall on our faces before our mighty and merciful Creator, repent of our sins, and trust in Him to heal us, to lead us, and to provide for all of our needs, as He promises to those that love Him. A lot of these government programs are good temporary solutions for those that have no other options. However, we certainly should not believe in them or trust in them, as we are believers of the great and mighty Elohim, our Creator, Yahweh. Instead, it seems as a society that we would much rather trust in man's government, a government bureaucracy which creates more problems than it can ever solve and has become corrupted by greed and power, a government which teaches our children through mandated education that there is no God besides man and the governments which he creates, a government that blasphemes our Creator by teaching children that they were not created in the image of Elohim, but instead evolved from apes, which evolved in turn from even lower life forms. Should we as believers even allow our children to be educated in these public indoctrination centers, which have in essence become temples to another god, staffed predominantly by atheists who are now even mandated to call evil good and good evil? Again, please prayerfully study this out for yourselves. I do realize there are some godly teachers, and thank Yahweh for them. However, for the most part, our public education system is very godless. One last point to ponder when considering whom you will trust for your healing, modern medicine or Yahweh, our Elohim, who created us. What is the logo for the American Medical Association? Is it not a serpent wrapped around a pole? Where did that come from? Isn't it suspiciously close to the brass serpent Moses was told to hold up on a pole for the people of Israel to look upon when they were bitten by the plague of snakes that were sent among them when they sinned? Have you ever thought about that? Aren't we told in John 3:14 that this serpent on a pole was a picture of Yeshua, who was lifted up so that whosoever believes in him would have eternal life? The brass serpent on a pole in the wilderness represented the people's sin, and Yeshua became sin for us and was likewise lifted up. What is the enemy trying to tell us? Is not the ultimate goal of modern medicine and science to make it possible for people, certain people, their chosen ones, to live longer, and now with genetic modification and transhumanism, to live forever or eternally? The enemy promises this to his chosen ones, or those who would trust in and follow him. No obedience to Yahweh necessary. We learned earlier how King Hezekiah was a righteous king who honored and obeyed Yahweh. When he became sick and death was pronounced over him, he immediately sought Yahweh in prayer, reminding him that he had been an obedient servant. Yahweh changed King Hezekiah's prognosis to that of complete recovery and a longer life. However, did you know that King Hezekiah also tore down and destroyed the brass serpent that Moses had been told to lift up in the wilderness for Israel's healing? Par for the course, Israel ended up turning to the brass serpent into an idol which they erected on the Mount of Olives. They began worshiping and trusting in this serpent on a pole instead of Yahweh, who was the true source of their healing. King Hezekiah was not perfect, and he did end up making some unwise decisions that had grave consequences for Israel and his own children. However, he was obedient to Yahweh. He tore down all of the pagan worship places in Judea and sought Yahweh alone for his healing. Yahweh, of course, honored his promises and healed King Hezekiah. Let us further consider the life of King Hezekiah and the brazen serpent Israel began to worship. Is this perhaps a parable we can apply to our own modern-day brazen serpent? 2 Kings 18:1-4. Hezekiah the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign, and he did that which was right in the sight of Yahweh, according to all that David his father did. He removed the high places and brake the images and cut down the groves and brake in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nehushtan. He trusted in Yahweh Elohim of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. For he clave to Yahweh, and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments, which Yahweh commanded Moses. We all will have to make the choice sooner or later. Will we choose to have faith in the healing serpent of modern medicine, whose religion is science and God is the enemy of our souls? Or will we tear down that brazen serpent as King Hezekiah did, and instead choose Yeshua, who willingly took our sins upon himself and was lifted up to die on the cross for our sake, in our place, for our redemption and our healing. In the end, the enemy will show no mercy, while we are assured in Psalms 103:17-18 and throughout the word of Yahweh that the mercy of Yahweh is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. Now is the time to choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served, or the gods in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve Yahweh. Joshua 24:15. In summary, once we are redeemed, reborn, and learning obedience, what do we do now? First, we choose this day whom we will serve. We study regularly and remember all of the word of Elohim from beginning to end in context. We should profess his word and promises of healing made to his people who obey him over ourselves and our families. We should have faith and speak life and blessings over everyone we know. Let no evil speech that tears down or curses another come from our lips. When faced with an illness or symptoms, we should reread Yahweh's promises and remind him of them so that he knows that we remember and believe them. We need to seek righteous elders for prayer and anointing. We need to trust in Yahweh and his son Yeshua with all of our hearts and fear not the enemy. We should do what we can do to avoid everything that Yahweh says should not be eaten or ingested by his people. We need to pay attention to ingredients and learn what kinds of food contain pig. For example, most everything with gelatin is made from pig, such as gelatin desserts, vitamin capsule shells, regular marshmallows, and even some cheeses. This information is readily available online. We should avoid GMOs by purchasing GMO-free certified or organic foods. This likely won't completely protect us from GMOs, but we can only do what we can do, and we need to leave the rest to our Creator who can heal and protect us. We should seek Yahweh for wisdom through His Holy Spirit and prayer in the name of His Son Yeshua for all healing and healthcare decisions. We should prayerfully and diligently study all modern healthcare procedures, medicines, vaccines, etc. before submitting ourselves or our loved ones to any of them. And we need to find a naturopath physician who is a believer for any healthcare advice that we may need. In closing, we need to be very careful not to think that we deserve healing because of what we have done or because we are so righteous. For example, the belief that now because we follow Torah, we are righteous, so we deserve Yahweh's healing is all wrong. This is a prideful attitude and not a repentant one. This would be relying on our own righteousness to save or heal us. We are told many times throughout Scripture that we cannot rely on our own works or righteousness to save us, or for that matter, to heal us. Because of our previous sins, lawlessness, Torahlessness, and the sins and lawlessness of our fathers, we deserve the promised curses, which include eternal death, sickness, and disease. This is why we need our Savior, Yeshua, our Messiah. We are all condemned without Him. We are all sick and dying without Him. That is why we need to die to our old sinful selves and be reborn in Him, reborn to a life of righteous living, not reborn to continue in sin, thinking that the laws which teach us what is sin have been done away with. What should be done away with when we are reborn is our unrighteousness and lawless living in blatant disregard of what Yahweh says is and is not acceptable in His word for His people. Titus 3:3-8. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. In other words, we broke Torah. We didn't live as Torah instructs us to. But after that, the kindness and love of Elohim our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost or Holy Set-Apart Spirit, which He shed on us abundantly through Yeshua our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in Elohim might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. We are all out of time for now, but we will finish up this study next week. Please visit us online at www.hiswordheals.com to download all previous programs. Blessings and shalom to all of you and everyone in your homes.